Hey everybody, this is Dan Young.
And Craig Morrison.
Thank you so much for tuning in to this week's episode of Total Wellness Radio, where every week, Craig and I bring you natural, non-invasive approaches to today's most common health concerns that you can use immediately in your home with you and your family. So, thank you so much again for Craig, this is Dan, for tuning in to Total Wellness Radio. Hey, good day, everybody.
Good afternoon.
Welcome to Country Doctor Wellness Wednesday. Today is September 7th, and we are going to dive into some support as much as we possibly can for the immune system. And, you know, that's been a big topic in recent years. Huh. You know, a lot of interesting attention has been drawn for us to the immune system, but really not in a way that is productive. You know,
no.
It doesn't seem like anyways, at least from our experience clinically and the things that we've watched people go through, these chronic recurrent colds and flus and you know, shingles and all these different things. And hey, Janet, thanks for joining us.
Hi, Janet.
So we're going to try to give you, I think, what I believe as far as like the standard approach to proper natural immune system response for people. Just give you lots of resources that you can think about, that you need to be aware of, that you can use on a really pretty much a daily basis to, you know, position your body to respond and thrive and get over these things. Because one of the things that we find we have to re-educate people on so much. Hey, Scott, greetings from work, he says. Thanks for joining us. One of the things that we have to, you know, re-educate people on quite a bit, it seems, is that the pathology is really not as big an issue as how well your immune system can respond.
Can fight the pathology off.
Exactly. And so a lot of times when these colds and flus flare up, and we got kids back in school, right? So that's like the walking Petri dish around
and
the
halls. They always bring it home.
And they always seem to bring it home. Hey, Shell, thanks for joining us. There seems to be a lot of confusion around this issue. And so we certainly aren't going to hey, Rita, thanks for joining us. We're not going to try and, you know, argue with the quote-unquote experts out there. But, you know, this is the difference between research and Googling something and having, you know, and then the clinical data really to support how the body responds and the things that it will respond best with in terms of fighting pathology. So pathology is opportunistic.
Mm-hmm.
That's what people don't realize. We all have yeast, parasites, viruses, staph, strep, MRSA, right? We all have, to a lesser or greater degree, these things that we are exposed to, that we naturally carry in the body. And
the body can usually handle them.
Usually. Well, there's a variety of things that people are, you know, we're made to think that the bad guy is the pathology. Well, the reality of it is that we need to spend more time focusing on the good guy, which is our body's immune system. We have, you know, we've talked about this many times over the years, Tammy, Craig, and myself with clients, and we don't have really an immune system. We are an immune system.
Yeah, the whole body is basically an immune system.
When you think about the protection the skin provides, the excess toxin removal, those toxins will suppress the immune system. When we perspire, we get rid of those things. We take in vitamin D, right, and convert that from exposure to you know, healthy exposure to the sun. When you think about the eyelids protecting the eyes, the earwax protecting the ears, right? Hey, Jen.
The nose hair.
Thank you for joining us.
The nose
and the sinus areas.
It's important. That's why it's not real good to go in there and cut all of them out.
Exactly.
You know, maybe some of the ones that are hanging down below, but as we get older.
Last week it was poop talk. This week,
nose hair talk.
Thank you, Craig. But I mean, these are just real things. You know, the gut is health is one of the things that we find with most people is what is really lacking or interfering with normal response of an immune system. There's all kinds of things that suppressed that. Going back to the 50s, let's kind of mm-hmm. go a little history. In the 50s, it was perpetuated by mainstream disease management that the thymus gland, which sits right about here,
yeah.
atrophied and died at puberty. That's what the standard, that's the medical standard, okay? In the 80s...
they discovered that was not true.
30 years later, we made a mistake. And really, the thymus gland is, from a gland standpoint of the endocrine system, it's really one of the initial glands that has a responsiveness nature about it to kick in the immune system, go to work, go to work, go to work. And so in the 80s, it was discovered that no, in fact, our thymus gland is still alive and well after puberty. And it is responsible for a lot of the immune system responses the body has. The problem is most people, I mean, we spend an entire generation being told that that in fact was not the case, but the thymus gland is real important.
One of the big things about the thymus gland that most people don't know is that it stops things from traveling back and forth.
Well, that's
or up and here. Down.
Yeah, adenoids and tonsils. This is the responder, right? This yes. is the one that sends the signal. We get these kids
to
that
stop
get
things from going.
Yeah.
Up or down.
Right. The adenoids and tonsils, getting those jerked out of these kids mm-hmm. all the time because they're always swollen and they're making stones because of milk consumption,
yeah.
usually. Hey, Jana, thanks for joining us. When they rip those out, that's where if you have a sinus infection, it's now given free rein to travel into the bronchioles and lungs, mm-hmm. or vice versa. You get something in the bronchioles and lungs, it now is given kind of free passage without being,
straight into the head.
Yeah. So, and the eustachian tubes, the sinuses, like that. And you don't want head infections, especially teeth.
Mm.
Teeth.
Yes.
Teeth can be a real issue with people. They have hidden things in there that can travel back and forth. And you certainly want to
Well, I know for a fact that if you get those pus pockets and stuff in your teeth, mm-hmm. that they can actually, because they're mostly bacterial.
Mm-hmm. More often than not, that's right.
They can actually, they're very, very dangerous.
Yeah.
And they can cause, problems with the brain.
Mm-hmm.
You
don't want brain
down.
Infections, spinal yeah. meningitis, things of that nature.
Mm-hmm.
No, you don't want to ever, you want to avoid that like the plague, if mm-hmm. possible. Hey, Diana, thanks for joining us. So, some key things that we look at clinically, okay? This is what we would evaluate. And we're looking for patterns. There's stress patterns. There's health patterns. There's illness patterns, if you will, mm-hmm. that are very easy if you're experienced to kind of pick up on what could be causing those. And I kind of mentioned already, the number one thing is food.
Mm-hmm.
If you're eating, milk, for example, processed dairy products in quantities.
It's a mucus causing and inflammation causing substance.
Yeah, it makes it very challenging for blood flow circulation, which is where immunity is, lymphatics, also mm-hmm. a key to the immunity, to do its job when these things get congested and bogged down. So these byproducts of these foods are just horrendous for most people. And most kids especially are just overdoing it.
Mm-hmm.
And the other thing that's...
And it's not their fault.
No, I mean, most people just don't know anymore.
We need to educate people. And that's one of the things that we do here is we try to educate them on... the dangers of these things, not that they're going to kill you tomorrow.
Right.
It's nothing like that. It's more that over time, they weaken the immune system
mm-hmm.
by overconsumption.
Yep.
So you want to try to avoid them as much as you possibly can.
Part of the immune system's job, this is another thing that confuses people. Oh, I've got horrendous body aches. I'm not hungry. I'm so tired. And I've got all this drainage and I'm coughing profusely. A lot of times, people think that the bug did that to them.
Yeah.
When in reality, 80 or 90% of what you feel physically is your body's
trying
response
to get rid of it.
To fight it.
Mm-hmm.
So fevers are a good thing, right? Even in little ones, as long as they're sweating, as long as they're perspiring, it's the dry fevers with little ones that you want to avoid. That's why fever breaking can be important. But if you have a child that's fever and they're clammy, they're sweaty, and they're dealing with a fever, monitor it for sure. Keep them hydrated for sure. But don't do things that can break that fever, because after a while it will break on its own naturally. And that's your body elevating temperature to try and fight and kill something off. You know, we've been so misguided in this country about what our body's symptoms are really telling us and how they're benefiting us in the long run to get over these things faster and stay over them longer. You show me someone who's been prone to breaking a fever, or, you know, following the modern medical disease management model of immune system fighting, and I'll show you someone who's going to stay sick.
Yeah.
They're going to stay sick or longer, or the recurrence is going to be more often. Hey, Charlie, thanks for joining us.
Yeah, I mean, me and you don't get sick very often.
Hardly, I mean.
You know, and we're around people that are, that get
challenged
sick.
All the time.
You know,
we
all
have
the
several
time.
Every day. Yeah.
You know, and the reason that we don't is because we try to keep our immune systems bolstered and strengthened by putting good things in our body, mostly eating an 80-20 diet,
80-20.
Which is 80% of your food should be alkaline-producing foods, and 20% should be acid-producing foods.
Like fruits and vegetables.
Fruits and vegetables are alkaline.
Seeds and nuts, right? Good, healthy fats, right?
Absolutely. It makes up about 80% avocados, things like that. Meat is not a bad thing, despite what a lot of people think. But it's not a bad thing as long as it's not, once again, abused.
The overconsumption.
Yeah, one of the problems in this country is you go out to a restaurant and you order a steak, they bring you out a steak that covers
the whole
plate.
Yeah.
And then they give you a side dish with a baked potato on it, which...
Lots of starch.
Is a lot of starch, and you've got proteins and starch. They don't mix very well in your gut, and it causes issues. And then they bring you a little bitty salad...
Usually salad. Iceberg, which has almost no nutritional value.
And then they might give you some broccoli, or, you know, three or four pieces of broccoli, or
carrots.
Or mixed vegetables, carrots.
Which is sugar.
And then they talk you into having a nice big dessert.
Yeah. Pile a bunch of sugar on top of that at the end, which completely obliterates immune system response.
So you've got all this stuff trying to be digested, and it just doesn't work very well. And so, once again, that's taking blood from your immune system. Believe it or not, it actually takes blood from the immune system to digest the food.
Yeah.
You know, to strengthen the stomach and to keep things functioning the way they're supposed to in the stomach to get things broke down. So, try to... One of the things that Dan teaches in his class is food combining. And this is very, very important for the immune system. Because you want your food to be broke down and the nutrients to be able to be absorbed.
Yeah.
When you're mixing acid-producing foods and alkaline-producing foods, or foods that are broke down by acids and foods that are broke down by alkalines, and you're introducing both of them into your stomach at the same time, it turns into a petri dish of putrid stuff, because it's not being broke down quickly and properly in the gut. You know, when you have meat, have vegetables with meat. Try to stay away from the starchy stuff.
Yep.
If you're going to have, I mean, the best time to have a baked potato is like at lunch.
Yeah, by itself.
You know, by itself.
Yeah.
Have a big baked
with
potato.
With a lot of healthy fat on it, like good quality butter.
Yeah, good quality butter, and, you know, maybe some sour cream and some other things like that that your body realizes, okay, this is a starch, let's break it down using alkalines.
Mm-hmm. It's the simple carbs, the fast metabolizing carbs that Craig talks about with people so much. The biggest impact that has on the immune system is it really depletes and decreases white blood cell production and activity. We got to have good white blood cell responsiveness in the immune system in order to fight off any type of invader, pathology, whether it's virus, bacteria, doesn't matter. You know, you're taking in foods that are going to assure that immune system is weakened when you consume too many of those things.
You know, so
preferably stay away from them as much as you can.
Yeah. Especially the highly processed, man-tampered things that are out there. And by the way, food doesn't come through a car window, folks, ever.
That's one of his favorite books, by the way. If you haven't picked up Michael Pollan's book on food rules, Michael Pollan's a great author. He's really kind of a researcher, not really a practitioner, but he's done some really good work with clinics and practitioners across the country to really capture, in essence, some of the best food-related habits you can develop. And that book's got to be several years old now.
Oh, yeah.
But the title is called Food Rules by Michael Pollan. And great guy. You can look at some of his interviews on YouTube.
There's 64 rules. And my favorite one's the last one. It says, break the rules every once in a while.
Every now and then. Yep. Just don't make a daily habit out of it.
Yeah,
that's the key.
Absolutely.
Every now and then. Things like golden seal, chlorophyll, garlic, vitamin C, vitamin A, mucous membrane, nutrition.
Mm-hmm.
You know, again, your dark green leafy vegetables. Vitamin E from wheat germ. If you're going to use vitamin E as an antioxidant protector of the cells, wheat germ oil is going to be your best source of that. Try to avoid isolates when you're dealing with supplementation. Plenty of sun for vitamin D, but during the winter, especially in Wyoming, and because of our elevation, like my folks live at 700 foot elevation, right? And so the exposure there with the overcast, things like that, they need a little more. You know,
they need more than a 20-minute walk.
Yeah,
the sun.
Plus, in Oregon, it tends to be a bit overcasty, a bit rainy. So having those types of things blended into the daily diet from a supplement standpoint is a wise thing to do. You know, we're at 7,000 feet here, so we get a little more.
We can go for a walk for 20 minutes and pick up enough vitamin D to carry us.
Yeah, for the day.
Yes.
15 to 20 minutes for the day. Usually, you're good for the day. That's kind of the rule of thumb. Zinc is a cellular protection.
Zinc is a real good thing.
You know, the chlorophyll and some of the cruciferous vegetables. When we have people that when they brush their... We always ask this question, by the way. And so we'll throw it out there. And if you know somebody or even yourself, capillary fragility. So when you brush your teeth, when you put the toothbrush out, if there's pink in the brush at all, this is an indication of capillary fragility for most people. Now, there's other causes, obviously. But capillary fragility really tends to leave that person vulnerable to viral activity.
Yes, and that's...
We've correlated that clinically, and, you know, standard process, back to school for doctors, you know, folks like Mark Anderson, Joseph Antel, and, you know, Michael Gaeta, all these doctors who are really deep immersed into the whole food realm and herbal realm of how to help people stay well and get well and stay well is kind of the goal. Have all agreed, and we've witnessed it too clinically, Craig and I and Tammy, that they bump and they bust, they get that, and we see that in elderly. Get the purple mark. We see that in elderly. We always want to find out what kind of maybe medications could be contributing to that problem. The integrity of the cell is diminished, but that's an indicator, right? Wild or vivid dreams, itchy nose, restless sleep. If
children
you have pets
that,
in your
that
home,
have, continent,
yeah,
continence
bedwetting
problems
issues
at night, yeah.
Now we're dealing more with parasitic. No matter what you eat, it bothers you. You can eat a really healthy meal or a lousy meal; doesn't matter. Seems to bother you. That's really more of a parasitic situation that you're dealing with. Body aches, fevers, lethargic nature. You know, that kind of leans itself more towards maybe viral. These are just some things that are indicators,
yeah,
or bacterial. Yeast is just, you know, no matter what you eat, you bloat and have gas.
Yeah.
And you crave simple carbs.
Yep.
Yeah, you crave
sugars
all the time.
White flours, you know, you crave oatmeal
cookies,
in
candies,
the morning.
Cakes, and colas.
Yeah.
Craig, the four C's that Craig talks about. These are just indicators, right? But there's pattern recognition to health. And there has always been pattern recognition. We use a simple system survey is 225 questions to give us a recognition of stress patterns, which points us in the direction of, okay, here's the deficiency or here's the toxicity. For example, Craig and I know of several men primarily who develop real serious immune challenges late in life because they're constantly exposed to metals and chemicals, aerosols, solvents. They're working on, you know, they're a mechanic basically, or they're in the trades with carpentry, and they're around the treated woods all the time. Maybe they got nails in their mouth all the time, and then from being out there framing and so forth. So there's all kinds of things in our environment that will suppress the the immune system. And there's ways of identifying those patterns pretty simply to determine, you know, what the stress is that's suppressing the immune system and or what the actual pathology might be that's active.
One of the biggest things that we have found is an indicator of a heavy metal or toxic chemical,
which suppress the immune system.
Problem is when the sciatic nerve is constantly painful. It hasn't been injured or anything. It just gets painful. And we have found that when you start to detox some of those metals, chemicals out, and of course we do a little bit of therapies with it, it helps to stop that pain.
Mm-hmm.
And that's just one of the indicators, especially for you men that are out there that work in the trades and stuff like that. If you're getting sciatic problems and you haven't had an injury to it,
right, take a fall.
You might want to take a look at doing just a metal and chemical detox, and you may find that pain will go diminish considerably, if not go away completely.
Yeah, all of the things we're talking about basically are things that can be present suppressing immune system response, which will lead to recurrent, chronic, infectious conditions in people. You know, my most challenging, I think, case was a nurse who came here several years ago. She had 17 documented UTIs in 1 year. Mm. 17 in 1 year. We evaluated, found that she had two different immune challenges in the kidneys. One was a challenge of yeast. The other was a challenge of bacterial. And every time they put her on an antibiotic, one kidney felt better. The other one got worse. Why? Because antibiotics destroy the gut flora, the environment that disrupts that
the
natural occurring
bacteria in the gut.
Which, by the way, a good pre and probiotic is something that should be on a daily basis, year round. Even if it's just one capsule or tablet a day or a tablespoon of the kind you put in the fridge, whichever you prefer, make sure it's a multi-strain, meaning that there are multiple strains of healthy bacteria and that it contains some prebiotics as well. The prebiotics help feed and create an environment in the gut that feed the healthy bacteria.
Right.
Anybody who's been exposed to antibiotics, and by the way, don't take antibiotics in a viral case. It's useless. It's pointless. Antibiotics in a virus case is pointless. And I'll tell you something. There's a syndrome called Reyes syndrome. It's R-E-Y-E-S, Reyes, I believe, syndrome. A very, very challenging liver disease, liver illness, liver dysfunction that can be created by children, in children and teens, taking antibiotics and these over-the-counter, and then giving them aspirin for the aches and pains. The combination can be extremely harmful for the liver, developing what's called Reyes syndrome. So you don't typically just see that in kids, little ones, or teens, if they've been given the combination of antibiotics with aspirin.
One of the biggest things that a lot of people don't realize is that antibiotics were invented or together to save lives during a war.
If you're on bed,
dying
from infection.
You know, you've had some gangrene that set in your knee because you lost your knee in a war. Or, you know, you get a bad cut that's been, you know, that had a bunch of dog hair on it and stuff like that.
Yep.
And these things get infected to the point to where it turns into gangrene. You want to be on an antibiotic that will kill any kind of bacteria because you've got
quickly.
To get that killed quickly.
Got to get the stress down.
You know, if you have a life-threatening bacterial infection in your lungs or
MRSA
in your stomach.
Or staph.
Stuff like that. Life-threatening is one thing.
If you've gone septic.
But to take antibiotics for a cold.
If you sneeze in the presence of
a
practitioner
medical,
and they want to give, here's your script. You know, that's just overkill.
Don't do that.
Yeah.
You know, because it's breaking down your immune system to fight bacteria.
Yep.
And you'll just get sick more often
because
you don't have the good bacteria in your gut to actually help keep you well.
Yeah. When you think of diet as a whole, there's three we'll just throw out there. Craig already mentioned the 80-20 rule. That comes from Dr. Bernard Jensen.
Mm-hmm.
Dr. Jensen wrote over 60 books in his lifetime on the restoration of health with whole food approach, dietary approaches, that work, and they work really well to this day. They still work really well. You just got to be choosy and selective on the 80-20 rule. You know, Saline River Press is one of the publishing agents that we use to go to their site and get amazing support information from. Besides reading our book, The Ultimate Healing System, obviously looking into their references on the GAPS diet.
Mm-hmm.
The GAPS diet can prove to be very beneficial for a lot of people, especially if it's right here in the gut where there seems to be the most problems associated with these recurrent immune challenges. That's very effective. And phase one, you know, do phase one for 30 days. Do the experiment with your own health. I promise you, if you live out in Cincinnati and you eventually see this video or hear us on the podcast, Total Wellness Radio podcast, I promise you, you do the phase one food program for 30 days and see how you feel. Hey, Charlene, thanks for joining us.
At first, it's a little tough because
you're cutting out all the carbs.
You're cutting out carbs. But once your body gets used to it, and it usually takes about a week, 10 days.
Yep.
After that, you don't, number one, you can't help but lose some weight.
Yeah, the byproduct is.
Because you're eating healthy, nourishing foods, and you don't need as much.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when you're not eating all those carbs for energy, you don't need as much of them. Your body starts burning fats for energy rather than, and you know, a lot of people, that's kind of the paleo?
Ketogenic?
Ketogenic.
Yeah.
System that they're talking about.
Mm-hmm.
But phase one is a great way to, if you want to go keto, it's a great way to
start,
build into it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but
yeah, if you go to the countrydoctornutritionalcenter.com, look under the free downloads, you can pick up a copy of the phase one food program, and there's 50 pages of phase one friendly recipes that taste good, they're simple, they're nourishing, and they stay in line. And no one's going to do it perfect, but if you can get to about a 90-95% compliance with phase one for about 30 days, you can notice a huge difference.
And
yeast overgrowth in modern living, in today's culture in America, is huge. I would say 7 out of 10 people have a sign of it, that they're dealing with it. Sometimes just good pre and probiotics will rebalance it enough. Other times we have to actually use a protocol to right size the yeast and fill in around it, you know, get that environment back right sized. And so phase one will certainly do that for you. There's over 250, by the way, unrelated symptoms associated with, the clinical term is Candida albicans. Some of you have heard of the yeast, the gut yeast connection is a great book. Dr. Doug Kaufman, I don't think he's actually a doctor, but he's definitely a foodie kind of guy. He's great at this. Hey, Lisa, thank you for joining us. You can go to him online, and his website is called knowthecause.com, knowthecause.com. Over 250 unrelated physical symptoms with this one issue. And everybody has a yeast component to the microbiome of the gut health. It has to be that are processed sugars and alcohol.
Mm-hmm.
The challenge is because of simple carb diets that we see with so many people when they get here, it's overgrown.
Having pizza four nights a week.
Yeah, yeah. Go, you know, the drive-through, like Craig said earlier. No, real food doesn't come through a drive-through or through a car window.
Yeah.
You know, and so these are things that are not sustainable. And so when you see a country whose health is getting worse and worse and worse and worse, and supposedly we're listening to the experts, right, or trying to do what they tell us, the reality of it is that they're not experts in health. They're experts in disease management. There's a difference in terms of procedures and drugs or scripts that they can give you that will give a seeming stability to your health. But there is no restoration. Not one person who watches this or listens to it on the podcast has ever gone to a clinic or a hospital and left with a well-thought-out, personalized plan on how to restore optimum function. Not one person, nowhere. And I'll tell you, I had a recent experience with a registered dietitian, and God bless those people. They mean well, okay? They really do. But this guy is a type 1 diabetic, or type 2 diabetic. Blood sugar is averaging 145, 150. And they're telling him that he's supposed to have 30 total carbs a day with every meal and two snacks of 40. Now, that is 80 plus 90, okay? That's 160, 170 carbs of refined processed carbohydrates a day. There's an impossibility to restore function when you already are showing signs of diabetes with that level of carbs. In fact, when I was doing keto and doing it very strictly, I never exceeded 23 a day. Mm-hmm. A day, okay? So they're so off the mark in terms of really providing meaningful help to people that go there and leaving with a really well thought out, workable, sustainable, results-driven program of care. It's just, they don't have it. They're not trained on what that really looks like. And so just be aware. Just be aware of those kind of things. Lots of hydration.
Water.
In the winter, 1/2 ounce per pound of body weight. In the winter, 1 ounce per pound of body weight. In the summer, you want to have some fun with just like, if you're the kind of person who likes home remedies, get some slippery elm powder and some honey. Bring some water to boil, a couple of tablespoons of slippery elm in 16 ounces of boiling water. Boil the slippery elm, a couple of tablespoons of honey, right? And then let it simmer and go back to room temperature and drink that. It is the propolis, which is nature's antibiotic in honey, not the little clover leaf bear honey, but local good honey from wherever location you are, from the bees. Not that the bees gave up the good stuff and then man tampered with it and destroyed it before he packaged it and sold it to you.
You want to stay away from the honey that has been pasteurized and homogenized.
And filtered. All those kind of things. Get the raw, local, unfiltered honey the best you can. And talk about reestablishing gut health. Talk about reestablishing your immune system.
It helps with allergies.
Thank you. And a lot of times people who have that imbalance in that sodium-potassium relationship that you rebalance with honey will have a byproduct of these food sensitivities. All of this is connected, causing...
And it'll all weaken your immune system.
It causes immature histamine responses, which is part of the immune system again, and it weakens everything. So there's just so much that goes into this that we could talk about. Children's health, right? The echinaceas and golden seal, the Kittywell, Kittymune products from Dr. John Christopher for the little guys, the infants to toddlers, getting that in them on a regular basis, a little bit every day as a maintenance. We live in an age where people are getting sicker faster and staying there longer, and they swear up and down they're listening to the experts. The problem is that they're not giving you valid information on what it really means to do and develop habits with your diet, lifestyle, and stress reduction, movement on a daily basis that will position you to thrive. It just doesn't work. If it was, we wouldn't be spending $4 trillion on it. We wouldn't be doing big additions to hospitals because only sick people make additions to hospital. Healthy people don't. So it's just something to really give some thought to, especially in these times. Immunity is a big issue, big in the news, right? But let's put this in proper perspective and know that there's things that you can do about it on a daily basis to keep your body performing well.
So. If your immune system is up to snuff, if you do get sick, it's usually, 3 to 5 days?
3 to 5 days.
And you're through it.
Yeah. But bad habits, I've seen people, it takes 3 to 5 weeks to restore function because they're so beat down. So just give us some thought. Look us up on the podcast. I think we're running late by two minutes, so we better get back to work. Sorry. Next week, insomnia. We're going to talk about insomnia issues, nutritional support that we can use to help correct that condition or that situation. And watch for this episode on Total Wellness Radio. Thank you all so much for tuning in, and we appreciate it. Any comments, we will certainly respond to on the Facebook page here. And let's see, I think that about wraps it up.
Have a wonderful and blessed day, folks.
Take care, folks. We'll talk to you soon. Well, that'll do it for this episode of Total Wellness Radio. Thanks again for tuning in. And for more information, be sure and catch us on Facebook Live every Wednesday at 1 p.m. Mountain Time at the Country Doctor Nutritional Center Facebook page. Until next time, thank you so much for tuning in.